And now for something completely different.
You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. David is celebrating his anniversary with his lovely wife. They are out having a great time, and I'm glad to be sitting in here sharing with you this afternoon. Looking forward to some good times together. We've got all sorts of eyewitness news from around the world. I've just been to Uganda and been up by the South Sudanese border. We're going to talk about that. We'd like to thank you for joining us here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Our number here, if you want to reach the show today, is 866-577-2473. That's toll free to reach the show at 866-577-2473. You can also reach the show and David Spoon in the following ways. You can always email David Spoon at kprz.com. Just use David Spoon at kprz.com. Or you can find the Facebook page by typing in the David Spoon Experience. David posts some interesting items there. I've liked quite a few of them myself. You can like those. You can make a comment, and you can share those posts. You will also find David on Twitter, at Spoon Experience. We're glad to have you with us this afternoon. Since David's out celebrating his anniversary, it seems like I'm having anniversaries pop up all over everywhere today. I had lunch with one of our longtime Whitefields supporters here from the San Diego area, and he's celebrating his anniversary today, too. So this must have been a very popular day to have a wedding. And it's quite interesting, anniversaries. Those are very important things. You got to learn a lot about anniversaries and what to do with those. I find it always an interesting thing to talk about marriage. When I first started as a pastor years and years ago, I was encouraged by an older senior pastor who shared with me. He said, you know, never share stories about your kids or your wife from the pulpit in your sermons. There's plenty of material out there for those. And he says, you know, no matter how funny you think the stories are, they'll come back to haunt you. So those many years ago when I started preaching, I decided not to do that and learned that. But, you know, anniversaries and weddings and marriage and things like that, boy, they sure do provide some such interesting, humorous things. I started looking through the internet for humorous quotes about marriage and discovered that I really probably can't share most of those because I'd get in trouble. And I know Polly's producing for us today. He's probably got a big button over there, right? That if I say something that's going to get me in trouble, you just hit the button and it automatically reverses the clock and we go back. But actually, I did find some very interesting quotes about marriage. One by Martin Luther, the great reformer Martin Luther. And he said, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." I almost said was going to say make her glad to see him leave, but actually that wouldn't work well. That would be the exact opposite of what we really want to try to do. Although I know there's a Facebook meme going around right now. It's a little video of a poor guy who's sitting there trying to explain to his wife who asked, "Are you going to help me make dinner?" And he said, "No, you need to understand, stuff around the house here gets done. I don't know how this happens." And he takes her to the laundry room and shows her a basket. And he says, "I just throw dirty socks and clothes in there, and the next day they show up on my bed all folded and clean." And he shows her the coffee table, and he says, I leave stuff here, empty cans and pizza boxes, and when I come out in the morning, it's all gone. And then I think it closes with him trying to explain to the police how, "I'm sure my wife didn't leave me. She must have fallen on the magic coffee table." So that's how you make a wife glad to see you leave. But Martin Luther said the wife should make the husband glad to come home and let him make her sorry to leave him. So that's actually good advice. Winston Churchill. Now, you know, Winston Churchill did some amazing things in his life. He led England through some of the most darkest times, but he expressed one time, "His most brilliant achievement was my ability to be able to persuade my wife to marry me." that is actually probably a really humble statement, because most of us guys, we should probably express that, our wives live with us. And my wife and I, we've celebrated 35 years together. And I just realized that her patience has grown immensely through knowing me. And so I'm glad to be a part of God's ability in her life to teach her those kinds of things and those kinds of patience. James Dobson, we've got Focus on the Family that's here on KPRZ, and also great The Family Life today. I was listening to Dennis Rainey and his wife Barbara today, and James Dobson said, don't marry the person you think you can live with. Marry only the individual you think you can't live without. That's actually a good thing to think about. Because you realize you're going to be with this person and you're going to have lots and lots of interaction with them over the years, and there's just a sense in which you grow to a relationship where you just don't want to be without them. And then, of course, there was this person named Anonymous. They have written a lot of material. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but Anonymous, they've written a lot of stuff. And they said there's only one thing worse than wishing you were married, and that's wishing you weren't. So for all you single people out there, that's a little bit of advice there to think about. There's only one thing worse than wishing you were married, and that's wishing you weren't. And then a final one, this is just some words from Ogden Nash. He said, to keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it. And whenever you're right, yeah, he said, I'm not allowed to say these words anymore because I have a 2-year-old grandson now, so I'm not allowed to say these. I don't want to say them on air, but let's just, we'll clean this up a little bit. Whenever you're right, just be quiet. You know, it's important not to be gouging that around and letting everybody know that you're right. But on anniversaries, it's always an important thing when you're getting a gift. It's a very important thing to do. And the gentleman I was having lunch with today said that he let his wife sleep in this morning. She did not make his lunch for him like normal. That's why I was able to go have lunch with him. And he left a nice little box of chocolates on the table for her and a beautiful card. I kind of learned a little something from that. I thought, you know, that's a very smart thing. There have been times when I gave my wife a truckload of dirt. Yeah, that's right. A pickup truck, my F-150, the back was full of dirt. I think that was a Valentine's Day I gave her that. But you see, in context, you have to understand that. My wife loves to garden. So that dirt was like precious gold to her. And I then spent that Valentine's Day unloading that dirt into the wheelbarrow and dumping it wherever she wanted it in her garden. And eventually, it grows flowers and grows fruit. And you kind of have to rake it around and dig it in. So sometimes those anniversary gifts are a little more work, and you have to do a little bit of something for them. I am, however, keeping something in mind today, and I want to encourage you throughout the day, our time together. I know some of you might be struggling in relationships. Sometimes when you listen to people talk about marriage and anniversaries, they talk about celebrating 52, celebrating 44, celebrating 35. And maybe you've been in a relationship or at times and things just haven't gone right for you. And maybe that relationship is even something that is just freshly discouraging you today. And I just wanted to give you some words of encouragement as well, that whatever your relationship might be right now, whether it's going great or whether it's going poorly, there are people that can help you. I hope that you can find counsel from people in your local church. And folks that are in church, you have to realize that sometimes there are people that show up on a Sunday morning and their heart is literally just being ripped out of their soul. Sometimes we can get so callous in the way that we approach our church and show up at church that we forget that maybe that person sitting next to us is not really fine. You know, we always say, how are you? And we say, I am fine. I just got back from Uganda, and that's one of the phrases that they teach them. They say, how are you? Good morning, how are you? And then they repeat back to you, I am fine. And there were quite a few times when I looked at those little people and I thought, you are not really fine. You're really struggling. But you've just been taught this phrase that you're supposed to repeat. And sometimes we say that to one another. We say, how are you? When I was in youth ministry, I used to get that response from kids. They'd say, how are you? And or how you doing? And they'd go, I'm okay, or I'm fine. And I used to say something back to them. I'd say something like that. Is that a good okay, or is that a bad okay? Are you a good fine or a bad fine? Sometimes people just respond that I'm fine because they think that you don't really want to hear what they're struggling with. But we need to remember that when the world is caving in around us, we need to be there for our friends. A few little things. There was a verse that was written by William Bathurst. He said, when the world my heart is rending with its heaviest storm of care, my glad thoughts to God ascending find a refuge from despair. That's the kind of Christians we need to be for one another. We need to be like the Apostle Paul encouraged us in 2 Corinthians. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient. It means they're temporary. They're just here for a short while. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And that's where we want to really put our thoughts. We want to be reminding ourselves that things here on this earth, yes, even rough relationships that we're going through right now, they're going to be passing away before too long. In the meantime, we have an opportunity to be an encouragement to one another. I hope to be an encouragement to you today. Our number here is toll-free, 866-577-2473. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You can find Whitefields at whitefields.org. Don't go anywhere. Listen to our sponsors. We're grateful for them, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Ain't no river wide enough, baby.
More of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Chris George, now the general manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon.
We're going to do a program the whole month of September, and we're calling it the Stuff the Subaru event to promote learning and education. That if you buy a book, we're going to donate it to the Cajon Valley School District in collaboration with Grossmont Center, Barnes & Noble. So you can buy a book, you can put a book in the Subaru, and all those books will be donated to the Cajon Valley School District. We're just going to partner with the school district.
Go to Subaru Mazda of El Cajon today. Call 800-418-4444.
Mark Larson and Tony Ramirez of Singing Hills Memorial Park.
Tony, this time of the year during the summer season, a beautiful time to come out and take a free tour at Singing Hills Memorial Park. Find out all about it and special savings right now as well for people who come by and take a tour.
That's right, Mark. Come out and visit us and get a free tour and mention this advertisement. You heard it with Mark Larson, and you'll have a special savings on property.
That's right. Singing Hills Memorial Park, beautiful place. It's not what you think of in a cemetery. It's just a gorgeous park-like setting. We've made our plans years ago at Singing Hills. Well, you get peace of mind. You can't put a price, you can't put a value on having peace of mind so that in the future, when it's inevitable time, you know, the thing people don't want to talk about, that we're all finite on this earth, to have that all arranged so your loved ones don't have to deal with it, what a great deal. What a great peace of mind you get from that. Go out and take a free tour. See the great folks. Singing Hills Memorial Park.
Singing Hills Memorial Park.
619-444-3000.
Download the free KPRZ 1210 AM app to see what you hear on the radio and save it to your smartphone. Listen and interact all day, every day.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. Sometimes the story or image goes right through the mind and into the heart. This was the case last week with a photo of a little boy in Syria. He was covered in blood and debris, sitting in an ambulance, and he became the focus of worldwide conversation. Nicholas Kristof, writing in the New York Times, noted that if Syrian kids were pups, we'd all care. He explains that he recently announced on social media that his family had to say goodbye to their golden retriever and received a torrent of touching condolences. Conversely, he wrote a column calling for international efforts to end Syria's suffering in civil war, a war that has claimed some 470,000 lives so far. The response? He said it was a torrent of comments, many laced with a harsh indifference. Why should we help them? Kristof is arguing that there's a moral mandate to do something. Why? Every human life, he writes, is worth every bit as much as a golden retriever's. We have to go further. Every single life is infinitely more valuable than the life of every single animal. I'm Albert Moeller.
local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. David is out today enjoying a much-needed vacation and anniversary with his wife. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. Have a great opportunity and appreciate the privilege of sitting in his chair and being here with you. You can find the ministry of whitefields.org. On the web, you can also call our number at 760-846-8610 if you are interested in connecting and hearing more about what we are doing. You often hear David talk about us on the show, and here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, we are a part of kind of the local family here and really enjoy our fellowship with the K-Praise staff. This summer, July 18 to about August, mid-August, I was in the country of Uganda. I know a number of you that are listening out there, at least each time I talk about Uganda, and our field director of Whitefields in Uganda is Onesimus Naboko. He's a graduate of SoCal Seminary right here in El Cajon. And a number of you have traveled over to Uganda. Some of you have been on short-term missions trips, and so you'll have some context for some of the things that I'm going to share during this segment. I'm going to share with you about a blog. It's up at our website called Eager Students. And how they devour the Word of God. I'm not going to complain about the way America has become in terms of sometimes the apathy that we have towards the Bible and studying the Bible. I know sometimes I talk with friends and pastors. Just a while ago, I was having a conversation with a pastor, and he was sharing, do you know anybody that has better than 50% attendance at their prayer meetings? And he was talking about his particular church, and he was comparing it to the number of people that attended his church on a Sunday morning. And then when they had their prayer meetings or times of prayer, he was lamenting how few people would take time out of their schedule to come back for that. And I wanted to encourage you, because one of the experiences that I had while I was with our friends and our partners in Uganda was just this overwhelming hunger for wanting to know the Bible. They were willing to study, and when they gathered together for prayer, their prayers were intense. And a part of the reason some of the other people that were with me began to share and wonder if their prayers were so intent, it was because they had so little. They needed so much. They lack most everything that just to survive in their world. We're working out in the very rural areas of Africa, where you drive on a dirt road to get there, and where there's no utilities. One of the things that we've been doing is helping the local church, as we begin to establish a church in a community, is to begin to give them the ability to gather rain in a rainwater tank. This trip, we were able to deliver two brick-making machines that they can use to make the bricks to deliver those tanks, to build those tanks. And to them, that's just an important part of the need to be able to have clean water. They don't turn on a faucet to get it. When you take that lack, the very lack of just even having water, and begin to spread that across, they lack many things. And when it comes to spiritual things, like even the ability to own a Bible, to some of them, it was almost a 1 month's salary. They're making only a dollar a day. It may cost them up to $30 to buy a Bible. And so I was able to teach a class. We had 35 people from the church that came. We were able to give each one of those people that came a Bible. For some of them, we gave them a Bible in Ruchiga, the local language that they could speak and they could read. To some others, we had copies of the David Jeremiah Study Bible, and we were able to give those that could read English that study Bible. And so we began to teach. Now, I taught for 4 days a very concentrated class on how to interpret the Bible. And that's a very, very important subject to explore. And for these people, it became something that they just hung on the edge of their chairs to devour, is the way I would put it. They were so excited to learn and find out how to interpret the Bible. What are the rules and principles? And as I came away from that teaching, I would start at 9 a.m. and teach all day till 5:00. And these people were not like bored, and they weren't sitting there waiting, when are we going to leave? They wanted more, and they would end the session each day with over an hour of questions, and they would want answers to the questions. And it was exciting to be a part of that. And as we were doing that, they showed such thrill at just being able to own now their own Bible and to have their own Bible. And I began to think, what has happened to us if maybe we have grown somewhat cool in our Christian faith because we have so much, and we certainly don't want that to be our attitude. And so I present this to you and share with you today as an attitude. What we should be doing is saying, if I have so much, if I have so many possessions, both physical and spiritual things, I have so many different tools to study the Bible in, we should be willing to eagerly share those, but also eagerly use them. We should take advantage of them. We shouldn't be apathetic that everybody has a Bible, everybody could have a Bible, and everybody has all kinds of study tools in their own language. I realized as I was teaching along certain things that I was trying to teach them, I would be saying, well, we have tools, books that share all of these things with you. Or you could, if you owned a computer or had access to the internet, you could log on to access these things online, but they don't have internet. They don't have tools or computers to do that. And so we began to work out strategies for how they could sit and read the Bible together. And those of you that now have this English study Bible that David Jeremiah and Turning Point Ministries created, you can share the tools in that study Bible with your friends that are here that don't speak English. And what a great time that was. And we began to discover certain things, and I wanted to share them with our radio audience because this is what Whitefields Ministry is doing. And you can find out about us at the whitefields.org website. You can see our strategy and the careful underlaying of the foundation of creating churches and places for churches. We build up the network. And one of the things that we walked away from this trip saying is one of the most important things was to give these people a better understanding of English. We need English speakers, English teachers. There are people I know that teach English as a second language, and there are missionaries that focus on that. And we're looking for some English as a second language teachers that could go and spend time among these people. We've got about 18 to 20 of the people at the particular church, and a number of young men that are preparing to become pastors to step out into these even more rural villages to be able to become the preachers there. And what we want to be able to do is give them the ability to speak in English. That also then helps when we can help a Bible professor to go over and teach a class. Those students, if they can understand in English, will be able to absorb so much more and so much faster. And those are the kind of strategies that we put in place as we begin to work on that. I'll just share with you one of the things that we were teaching and talking about was the need to interpret the Bible in its context. And that was a concept that was very difficult for them to understand when I first presented it. We spent about 3 or 4 hours together explaining what context means, that you can't just take a verse out of its context, but you need to look at the verses right before it and the verses right after it. They shared with me a verse that had been taken out of context. It was in Isaiah 56 and verse 12. It says, "Come, they say, let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow we will be like this day, great beyond measure. But we realize that's not really what that verse means. What it was the false watchmen of Israel that were giving bad advice. And that's how teaching them to use context is so important. Thank you for listening. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Did your financial advisor lose 30% or more of your life savings during the last market crash? Are you afraid it could happen again? I'm Pastor David Mitchell, founder of Tradeway. Tradeway specializes in teaching you how to cut out the middleman and take control of your money. At our first event, Step 1, Start Your Journey, you'll learn how business principles from the Bible, combined with our powerful skill sets for stock trading, can give you the ability to make informed financial decisions for your family. Having control can give you peace of mind even in an uncertain market, because nobody cares as much about your hard-earned money as you do. Tradeway, you'll learn to reach your biggest goals by taking small steps.
Coming to the Holiday Inn Mission Valley San Diego, September 16th and 17th. Only $99.95 for your entire household, plus a free ticket for a friend and a full money-back guarantee. To register, call 877-907-TRADE. That's 877-907-8723 or go to tradeway.com. That's tradeway.com.
This segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries and our very good friend Steve Wheeler. You can reach Whitefields by calling them at 760-846-8610. That's 760-846-8610. I'll tell you why you want to get in touch with them. Because this ministry advances the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world by helping support pastors who go to these faraway villages and they plant churches where nobody's ever heard of Jesus and they make proclamation of the gospel to people who have never heard. Another great ministry in Whitefields is they go into these villages and they help these villages move their drinking systems from cesspools to filtered water, and they don't charge a thing to do that. When they do that and offer that for the village, people from the village say, "Why are you doing that?" And then they answer with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go to whitefields.org and read the hundreds and hundreds of testimonies, the different prayer requests, and different people reaching out to all people all over the world with the gospel, and you'll be blessed just for reading it. I don't want you to say, "Yes, I'm going to be a part of this ministry," without checking them out, praying about it, and making sure it's what the Lord wants you to do. Whitefields.org. Go ahead. Find out if that's something that the Lord draws you to. Respond to it at that point. I think you'll be blessed. I know my wife and I have been.
Repentance clears the way for our walk with God.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Mark DeHaan. Madagascar's National Road 5 offers the beauty of a white sand coastline, palm forests, and the Indian Ocean. Its 125 miles of two-track road, bare rock, sand, and mud, however, have given it a reputation for being one of the worst roads in the world. Tourists looking for breathtaking views are advised to have a four-wheel drive vehicle, an experienced driver, and an onboard mechanic. John the Baptist came to announce the good news of the coming Messiah to those traveling on rough roads and through barren landscape. Repeating the words of the prophet Isaiah written centuries earlier, he urged curious crowds to prepare the way for the Lord and to make straight paths for him. John knew that if the people of Jerusalem were going to be ready to welcome their long-awaited Messiah, their hearts needed to change. Mountains of religious pride would need to come down. Those in the valley of despair, because of their broken lives, would need to be lifted up. Neither could be done by human effort alone. Those who refused to respond to the Spirit of God by accepting John's baptism of repentance failed to recognize their Messiah when he came. Yet those who saw their need for change discovered in Jesus the goodness and wonder of God. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org.
Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. Whitefields Ministry supports national pastors starting new churches in their own countries. And you can reach David Spoon anytime here at kprz.com. We were just talking about my trip to Uganda, and we were sharing about the opportunities that we have here in the U.S. To study, so many advantages, and the encouragement to not be apathetic towards the advantages and the opportunities we have, but to make good use of them, both the facilities we have for churches and gathering and worshiping, the advantages that we have to study the Bible. I was sharing with you just that little verse at the end, the context, trying to teach that concept of not taking the Bible out of context, and how the people, after I had taught them in Uganda, they shared that a prophet had come to town, a person that was calling themselves a prophet, and they showed up and they shared the last verse of Isaiah chapter 56. It says, "Come," they say, "let me get wine and let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure." And they were encouraging everyone to go out and get drunk and that it's okay. And that's, we use that to develop the principle of context, because if you go back up to verse 10 in that chapter, you find out that it's talking about the watchmen, and God's watchmen are blind and they're all without knowledge, and they're all silent like dogs. And That puts us into a whole nother area of teaching of figures of speech and helping them understand those things. And when you travel across the country and you get into other cultures and other places, you begin to realize times just how little they have. In Ruchiga, there are very few Bible study materials available. They do have a Bible, but it's important that they compare that to an English Bible, that an English version that has had much more careful scholarship in translating, and that's a very important part of that. But when you're traveling in other cultures, you begin to understand as well things that they are facing that we sometimes in America have a skewed view of. And one of those things is the issues going on right now with refugees in our world. I was hearing Al Mohler share some of the things that are being written about refugees and the news items and the way people respond. And I don't know what comes to your mind, what feelings come up right away when you hear that kind of a discussion about refugees. I know some people have said things to me like, why should we go help them? It's kind of as though these people are in this problem of their own making. But I was just recently in the northern region of Uganda. I know America is not getting a lot of news about the South Sudan conflict going on right now. South Sudan was partitioned off from as the rest of Sudan in 2011. It's not a very old country, only about 5 years. They're in the middle of a terrible crisis right now in that country. There's also refugees from Syria. That battle has been going on since about 2011 as well. There's more than 4.5 million refugees from Syria, just gathered into five countries around Syria. 4.5 million is a lot of people. Those refugees have fled into countries like Turkey and Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, and Egypt. The ministries of Whitefields, our churches, have been reaching out to those people. They do so because that's a part of what the Bible encourages us to do. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus shared with us the story, the parable about the sheep and the goats and the king dividing them up. And on the one side, he had put the righteous. And he says to them, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? See, the righteous are saying, we don't recall having seen the Lord Jesus. Because if we, you and I, if we encountered the real Jesus, we would want to minister to him. I believe that, at least if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that if you saw Jesus and he was thirsty, you would want to give him drink. If Jesus approached you and you knew that this was my Lord and Savior that is somehow back on earth and he is hungry, you would give him food. And what the king answered to them in this parable that Jesus was telling them in verse 40, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. There is a sense in which when we reach out and give a drink or give food or minister to the least person around us, the weakest, the poorest, the most neediest, particularly here, some would say, well, that means to our brothers, to Christian people. But also, you have to recognize that showing compassion also opens up the privilege of the gospel and sharing about the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we're finding happening in the Middle East, one of the countries that we're serving in among these Syrian refugees. I can't give you more specific details because of the safety issues. But there we know that one of our churches realized that among these refugees, so many of them, there were children not allowed to attend the schools of that country. The natives of that country would not allow the refugee children to come to school. And the members of the church there said, this is going to be a terrible problem down the road because so many of these children, young children, 5, 6, 7 years old, will not be able to read or write. And that's going to be an even bigger problem. You know what's quite amazing? As I traveled among the refugees up in the South Sudan in the northern region of Uganda, most all of them that I shared with just wanted to go home. That's where they wanted to be. They wanted to be able to go back home. They were not causing the conflict themselves. In fact, the cause of the conflict there was very complex. But in this region of this other area, among the refugee children, the church went out and started a school, and they began to educate the children of the refugees. This caused the parents to wonder, why are you showing such compassion to our children? Even the people of our major religion don't allow our children to come to their schools, and yet you're reaching out and you're teaching them to read and you're sharing. And you know what that has caused? It has caused an open door to share the gospel with them. Another thing that it has caused as well, and that is that they have shared a prayer request. Because the superintendent, the school director that had been teaching and sharing and giving coordination, left. He left out of fear because the government began to contact him and they were persecuting him because he was sharing with needy children. Now, it seems like that would be something that we want them to do. But there was such anger on their part that they were persecuting him. They were threatening him. And so he left. He was afraid that something would happen. And so now this church is praying and they're asking for us to help them and they're looking for another person. And we don't ask for you to go. We're asking for you to pray. That's what Whitefields shares in our opportunity. At our website at whitefields.org, you will find opportunities to pray for these refugees. There are many ways that you can lift up their needs to the Lord. It is a conflict that has been going on. And it is a personal conflict. I was with Pastor Elijah Arok. His family is from South Sudan. They have suffered greatly for many years. He was involved back in the early days of the conflict in South Sudan, trying to help the lost boys. If you search that on Google, you will find the lost boys of Sudan. Pastor Elijah, was one of the liberation men who was helping those lost boys escape out over the desert of Sudan into Kenya and into northern Uganda. And during that fighting, tens of thousands of people were killed. And he has just contacted me this last week. A Christian brother, Pastor Elijah, his sister's husband, was killed in the conflict in South Sudan. She fled with four children, and she is now out in the bush area of South Sudan trying to flee and make her way to the border. You see, we see numbers like 4.5 million. We hear things like 10,000 refugees being settled across America and things going on, and we forget sometimes that these are real people. They have real lives, and some of them are already believers in Jesus Christ, and they are asking for the church to love them and care for them and pray for them. And we hope that you will be praying for Pastor Elijah Arok, his sister Sarah, and her four children. He is out in the regions near the border looking for her right now. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. I am sitting in for David Spoon today on the David Spoon Experience. You are listening right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Hang around. When you come back, we're going to share some of the Bible scriptures from Philippians and the book of Acts, listening about the Apostle Paul.
No matter how far.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Well, I think the parent takes on some of the blame for that, or they feel shame. They are not wondering what other people would think about them, something they must have done wrong that their child turned out to be gay.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Ann Mobley recalls how she reacted when her son told her he was gay.
I didn't realize at the time how important my initial response to my son was, but it was just something that I just did, which is out of my heart. I went to him. He was sitting at the end of the table. I went to him, put my arms around him, and drew him close to me. I said, son, you're my son. I love you, and that nothing is going to change that. And I think that set the tone for his feeling he could be open and honest with me. Yeah. And that's when he began, as we went in the living room and sat down for 2 hours, and he just opened up and heard a lot of things I didn't want to hear, but at least he felt he could be honest with me. And I think that was the beginning of a very open relationship.
You'll hear more of Ann's story at FamilyMinute.org.
All right, folks, this segment is brought to you by Excalibur Roofing and our very, very good friends, Eric and Ingrid Holloway at Excalibur Roofing. Now, you know they have over 20 years of experience. They're active members in the BBB. They're licensed and bonded in different roofing classifications. They got testimonials from people like you, but it doesn't matter because the most important part for you to remember is Excalibur Roofing is the official roofing company for unauthorized skylights in your homes in San Diego. You might be wondering, what is an unauthorized skylight? That's a skylight that's in your roof that you didn't put there. Or in other words, a hole in your roof. That is what Excalibur Roofing can help you with immediately. If you call 760-743-8803, that's 760-743-8803. Or if you go to their website at excaliberroofing.com. Or if you go to Google and type in Excalibur Roofing, or if you go to Facebook and type in Excalibur Roofing, you will find out that the people to deal with for your roof are people that think when they do a roofing job, they're doing their work as unto the Lord. Excalibur Roofing is the best there is. You will absolutely be blessed in your interaction with them. Excalibur Roofing, give them a call and tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience.
Aetna and Humana could merge by the end of the year. Another example of a healthcare system that appears to be searching for a way to cope. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Healthcare costs in the United States are plaguing both consumers and providers alike, with the latest illustration of the trend coming from Aetna. In its second quarter earnings filing, the insurance provider said it will pull out of planned 2017 expansion into the Affordable Care Act exchanges. The move comes after announcements earlier this year from UnitedHealth and Humana, which also announced plans to cut back on ACA exchange participation. Aetna, the nation's third largest health insurer, behind UnitedHealth and Anthem, sells Obamacare plans in 15 states. The company has been hurt by the high cost of medications and procedures for customers. Earlier this month, Aetna and Humana agreed to sell certain Medicare Advantage assets to Molina Healthcare. This comes after the two companies proposed a merger in late July. But the Department of Justice filed a lawsuit last month in an attempt to stop Aetna's takeover of Humana, saying the merger would create an anti-competitive environment. In the meantime, if other major U.S. healthcare providers decide to reevaluate their Obamacare exchange participation, more troubles may be on the horizon for customers. As healthcare costs continue to rise, many Christians are feeling the pinch. If you've been forced to choose between high health insurance premiums and huge tax penalties, it's time you considered a truly affordable alternative, MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ. 1210 a.m. in San Diego. I am Steve Wheeler sitting in for David today, who's taking a very legitimate break to go have a wonderful anniversary with his wife. He's going to be back tomorrow, so don't miss him and sit in. You can find our ministry, the Ministry of White Fields, at whitefields.org. That's one word, the color white, the word fields.org. And Whitefields is supporting national pastors starting churches in very hard-to-reach places. We work alongside missionaries, and our founder started this ministry back in 1953 after his trip to Japan with his lovely, wonderful wife, Muriel. Muriel, our founder's wife, celebrated her 94th birthday in February, and she just passed away last week, ushered into glory and is now at her eternal rest, enjoying the fellowship of her Lord and Savior. We're going to be having a memorial service at Maple View Baptist Church on September 10th. If any of you are listening that knew Muriel, you knew the Pools, Bert and Muriel Pool, many years of gospel music celebrations and a wonderful evangelists in our community and around the area here. But we are going to be celebrating her life on that day. You can find more information about that at whitefields.org. You can also go there and pray for pastors that are starting churches in some of the really rough areas around the world. I wanted to share something about worst case scenarios. We sometimes get very focused on most valuable players. And we just finished the Olympics, right? And we're all celebrating. One of my friends, Allison Felix, is now a gold medalist multiple times. I knew Allison when she was a little girl. I was the principal of Grace Community School up in the Sun Valley area. Her dad, Paul Felix, and I were in seminary classes together. And Allison was one of the girls in our school. I was the principal of that school for a number of years as well. And what a great example, a testimony of faith. I was encouraged to see so many awesome testimonies of wonderful Christian athletes giving praise and glory to God. And as so many of them would win their race, whether it was swimming or in gymnastics or in something else, they would celebrate marvelously together. And what a great example that was. But sometimes we focus on the most valuable, and then we kind of look at our own life and we wonder, wow, where do I fit in some of these things? And a while ago, I did a study on the whole worst case scenarios in the Bible. And one of those I'll just introduce to you here was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul considered himself a worst case scenario. He was not the MVP of Christians, as we might say, but he was actually one who said, I am the lowest and the least. I am the foremost when it came to sinners. He said, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. That's in 1 Timothy that Paul says that. What a phenomenal realization it is that God does not look down at the earth and say, I am looking for the most valuable players. Now, it's wonderful when those MVPs give tremendous praise and glory to God. But wherever you are at in your life, I want you to know God can love you and God can forgive you. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Don't go anywhere. We will be coming right back.
San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ. This is the David Spoon Experience.